use this office and our appointment center was used to place. And so speaking of a great learning lesson for me, that instead of us just kind of running in circles in the corner and saying, help our staff, Rich totally led out and taught me something really important, is to just go and meet with the people, sit with the people, and talk with the people. And that's what we did for several hours. Rich was there, he met us there. I went, Jeff Randall was with other deputies, and we just talked to the employees. They had really traumatic kind of experiences. And there Rich was, just out there just to be with our staff. And I've never forgotten that. It's always stood out to me. And I think you've done other things like that, but I've heard several examples of Rich just being a great mentor and friend, and somebody that just cares. And I think that's awesome. So we want to give you this award. This is an award that we have for our department, and it's called the Cornerstone Award. And it will help you in your weight loss or but it's this beautiful cube, and it represents the four cornerstones of our agency. Employee success, community connection, operational excellence, and customer experience. And so we think they're really our first just that we give it to our lead council, and we think that's appropriate. That the first award be given to Rick Thorne for your service with the agency.
Years and as I think of the employer representatives and the employee representatives at large and the citizens that the public representatives, actually I think we've done some pretty good things, right? We've had some challenges, but I think we've grown from those challenges, and I can't think of another state we saw the way it's run. Even during the hard times on the national level, right? We were always the ones that were kind of leading the path. We were the ones that held up, and I can't remember, for several years ago, you guys were bringing from Hartford to the National Office.
So
are.
When
they
get out the award.
And it's so cool. And to have me have the opportunity to be part of that. Look what I did with the open set levels. I've had opportunities to be and you were right up on the top of that. So this means a whole lot. I love it. It's hard to believe there were 3 years to come from. I gotta be honest, I'm looking forward to trying not being late. I've got 13 grandkids, my wife of 44 years, that's all. Bring this agenda for us. My last day on the payroll will be the end of March, and then a really good friend, super good leader, great colleague, Joe Gilbert, will be taking my position as President CEO. We're celebrating our 100th year, so Joe will take us into that next 100 years in business. So I hope y'all get a chance to meet with him, but I'm excited for you to see. I'm excited for this council and all the good people who do with us.
Yes. Yes. We have six. How many do you have in person?
1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4. Then we have enough.
Yep, we have enough.
Okay. So why don't we, real quick, when we tip it back up to the approval of the minutes, if we need some to approve the minutes from August. Okay, and 1 second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Everyone else is on mute, but I think we'll take for now. Unless you want to do a protest. Okay, so why don't we bring back Amanda then to actually train talk on minutes and all the other good things that comes with the Open Public Meetings Act. So Amanda, let me give you the chair.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah.
I think it's been a year or two since I've presented to this group. So we have a new staff attorney who put together a slightly more entertaining version of this training. So lucky, that's great. Let me
go up then.
I honestly would have all seen it out of everyone's way.
Yep, I think
that's
still
great. All right. Now, did I remember the instructions? All right. So the Open and Public Meetings Act is intended to ensure that the public business is done publicly, essentially, openly and transparently. And so meetings such as this are open to the public in order that we take actions openly and deliberately. And as we just noticed, we needed to make sure that there was a forum here before we took any action. That's the key. Woo! Look at this.
That's
yeah. One of the requirements of the Act is that we do this training every year. And so all of our commissions that are, and councils that are under this Act, and not all are, get this training. So, quick definition. My training, the last time I was here, was much less. So, a meeting is a convening of a body like this, where you are actually doing the body's work, what you're here to do under statute. And as we know, we've already got some folks here participating remotely, and that has become much more common. It doesn't mean if you guys happen to meet at the grocery store or our friends are doing stuff together. It's actually doing the public business. Okay. Convening as the chair or other authorized person, saying we're meeting on this day. So, see, I'm watching funny. A public body is any body that's created by a statute or rule that has at least two people and either expends public revenue or is supported by that and makes decisions regarding the public. To participate is essentially to communicate. So that's how we can do these hybrid ones. As long as people are able to communicate with me and express their thoughts and take action, it's okay to have these hybrids.
Justin.
And a forum?
Justin's asking if we need a motion to close the meeting.
All meetings of public bodies are open to the public unless they are closed to very specific reasons. Only because of the I don't think you all have ever had people coming in to yell at you, but there are some positions that are left the public might be left at. So some of the things that might close it, if you are taking sort of quasi-judicial acts, like deciding if somebody might get a permit or something like that, or you're making a decision, I don't believe that this board should be doing it. One of the key provisions of the Public Meeting Act is to notice the meeting so that the public knows that's our meeting and our staff handles that. So you need at least 24 hours notice. It has to include the agenda, kind of say. It has to be posted here at the principal office, which is for, this is the principal office for ULI. On the Utah Public Notes website and provided to newspapers and media. And again, our staff takes care of all of these requirements. Now, an interesting thing here on the meeting agenda. If you take a deliberate act or want to take something that's not on the agenda, it's best to have a motion to put it on the next agenda so that it can be noticed to the public, so that they have time to provide comment or input if they need. And maybe not something is absolutely necessary for this, which is more advisory in nature, but we do want to make you aware of that. So this is the Utah Public Notice website. I actually even switched to council there. And everything is uploaded there. Agendas, handouts, the minutes that you just approved will be uploaded onto that site. The audio recording of past meetings. So if you need some of that information, you can go to that website and find it. Or you can contact our admin staff if you have. So, the Act requires the topics on the agenda be identified with reasonable specificity. In other words, so that people know what this body is going to do. And you can't take final action unless it's included as an agenda item. You can address, as it says, things raised by you can address things and talk about them, but if you're going to take like a vote on something, it needs to be on the agenda. Oh, and this is somebody else. Emergency meeting. And now, this may not happen very often with us, but there are provisions in the law for that. Occasionally, there are kind of urgent matters. We've just gone through our public pandemic and had a couple of emergency meetings like that. You have to give as fast notice as you can. And attempt to notify all of the members of the group. And a majority of members have to approve to have an emergency. Again, I don't think that's going to happen with this group, but I want to let you know that possibility. Closed meetings, you can't take a final action or vote. That's a good thing. That you're going to have to come back and announce. But to discuss things like perhaps there's a concern about a particular person on the board that you wanted to discuss privately, mostly things about money, purchasing, things like that, which this group is not doing. You don't evaluate bids, you don't, I don't know, you might deploy security here in the building, you never know. But there are very specific reasons, and you would consult with my office before closing, if at all possible. I went through this, but I forgot how many wonderful. So, two-thirds agree. So it's not just a quorum to approve closing. It has to be two-thirds. And you have to say why you're closing, and ask that reason. So, recording meetings. Written minutes are required, recording is required. Again, these are all things that our staff ensure taking care of for you. The closed meeting must be recorded and available for people who are on the website. It is not up on the website. Site tours do not need to be recorded. This is in there because our state workforce development board is on the website. And we have to have the cat in there because, Your Honor, I am not a cat. It's still very funny to all attorneys. electronic meetings. Public bodies can approve electronic meetings that everybody, pretty much every public body does. There has to be an anchor location where people can come in person if they choose to do so. Unless there is some sort of emergent reason why not. So when things were closed in 2020, there were no anchor locations for a lot of things. You still have to have recordings in the house. So, what if we don't follow these rules? Well, your action taken might be voided. The public can sue to compel compliance. And the closed meeting, if not closed properly, and I don't see any of this happening with this group. but scary. I mean, a misdemeanor is very not good. I don't see this happening. We do everything in our power. That's not anyone. All right. So, conducting meetings. Our best advice: maintain order and control. Obviously, do the follow the agenda. Stay focused on the agenda. You do need to allow comments though from the public. Track motions and votes, particularly if it's not clear. If there's anything controversial, it is best to do a roll call vote and have it clear what the numbers are, rather than just whoever's the loudest group. Explain procedures. This is particularly true if you've got a lot of the public participants. I want to make sure that they understand what's happening. No tolerating disruptive behavior. I would call out somebody who's already left in a Christmas letter. Rita Greta. An era on the side of open meetings. So, questions. This is pretty straightforward. You know, when you work with the public fund, the public business, you want to stay. All right. Well, thanks. Is that quick enough? We've got plenty of time for the best cookies
perfect,
in the entire valley.
All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you.
I think we should have called out the disruptive character of the speaker.
I mean, I try to be a speaker.
Yeah, ma'am, please,
my spouse. My spouse is currently watching football. Was planning to go to Ruby Snap afterwards. Already has my order.
The game is off. So until you go home, you can have it.
Okay.
You got to keep your sustenance up.
Okay, I'm gonna go around that.
Yeah, just okay. All right, thank you, Amanda. And so I know everyone comes here for the visiting meeting and has to talk about next year's events. And so I didn't want to talk about that because I didn't want anyone to throw anything at me. So I actually picked Mike to talk about next year's event. Talk about next year's event. So, Mike, I'll let you have it.
All right.
Tell us all if you've got any questions. I guess if you're at home, just enter it in the chat box and pop a hand up. So, great news for tax rates. Here it is. So, our wage base increased by $2,200. That's a reflection of how healthy our economy is. Employers are paying more. Because employers are paying more, if we have more coverage, we have to insure more. So wages have gone up, so wage base has gone up. The maximum tax rate, no change. The minimum tax rate, no change. The social costs, no change. FYI, you experts. You already know what the minimum and the social costs would be. Sometimes we'll have employers or finance colleagues say, look, it's really great. And then the reserve factor is 1.1, which is a decrease. So numbers are looking really good. And I've got to say, Patrick helps get all this data for us. I do the hard part of copying and pasting. So this is all Patrick's excellent work. So the bottom line, the minimum rate of 0.3% times that new wage base means that that's $130 per employee. If you're at the maximum rate, it's 32.7. Now, you're going to be at the maximum rate if you have a lot of churn, and other industries that have low turnover would have a lower rate. Now, if you remember House Bill 2002 from a couple of years ago, this is the one that artificially capped social costs and the reserve ratio. And then we got some money from the federal government because the legislature said we could put into the trust fund, directed at social costs. That in addition to the taxes collected from employers, left us in a really good spot. So we noticed that they capped it, the social costs, at 0.004, but actually we didn't even get that high. We didn't need that. Same thing for the reserve ratio. We capped it at 1.2, we didn't need that because we're below them. So what does that say? That's great news for you guys. If this looks blurry to you, it's probably what you have with the lunch beverage. So it's not blurry to me. I love this because you'll notice that Utah employers with a minimum rate is 78%. So those are employers that are managing their staff. If you jump up to the next 0.4 to 0.9, we're all the way to 87%. So, you know, an employer with a maximum rate is less than 1%. Pretty awesome. So, I said, in other words, 78% of the employers are going to pay that $134 and they're done. This is an interesting chart that Patrick has pulled for us. This is a comparison of states. The tax rate, the UI tax rate, as a percentage of total wages. Utah's all the way down there at 31. So on this chart, it's the Goldilocks principle. You don't want to be too hard, you don't want to be too soft. You don't want to be too hot, too cold. So that's a good place to be. 0.42, less than 1%, less than 0.5% tax rate is less than that, though, as far as public wages. You'll notice the U.S. average is 0.54, so we're below the U.S. average, and we're below 29 other states. So here's some interesting information. Prior to the pandemic, there were 31 states/territories that were above the federal minimum adequate salt. A recommendation from the book, we have at least a year of enough money in your trust fund to take 1 year of benefits. The 31 states. Interesting to note that California went into the pandemic still owing $63 million in loans to the federal government from the last recession. After the pandemic, 21 states and territories were above. So 10 states fell below, and look at California's loan amount, $20 billion with a B, is what they have still outstanding, which is roughly what all the other states owe. So imagine being on an employment advisory council in California. The news is not good. Right? Imagine being a UI director or a benefits chief trying to figure that out. You've got a lot of politicians at the bar. So one thing that we do have in Utah is a stable economy, great employer, employee relationships, legislature, for the part of the state's out of the states in red, those are the states that are. And it's interesting, too, because some of them have really jumped their tax rates up, like Rhode Island, but also New York. So you would say, well, God, New York probably need to raise your taxes. And Alaska, if you look at them, their trust fund is way. Probably ought to give employers a break, but they don't. They're still up there. So again, Utah's down there. This is kind of the same thing, but it puts it in a visual format. You can see the blue line is the national average. The red line is the Utah average. So Utah's been below the national average. I'm on an angle here. Patrick says 2015 to 14.
Since 2015,
below the average. We still follow the trend of the whole nation, but we're below. So as the national average goes up, we go up. That's after a recession or a pandemic or something. We have to increase taxes to replenish the trust fund so that we don't have to take out billions of dollars in loans from the federal government. There's lots of strings attached with money from the Fed, so we just don't have to go ahead. This you should have received this in your email, the slideshow, that link right there. You open the slideshow, click on it, it's a live link. It'll take you to the website, and you can actually read through how the trust fund is done. We talk about that all the time. I don't want to repeat the mistake, but that makes it very helpful. And then, as always, if you ever have any questions or any of your constituents have any questions, just reach out. Okay? Patrick, do you want to see if there's any questions from folks at home? And then, anyone here? Questions? So, in summary, Utah Trust Fund is very healthy. We're in great shape. We're looking forward to another healthy cash year. We'll see what the recession brings. We were at dinner with some friends, and when was that? I can't remember. One of our friends was saying that she had gone to the nail salon and was talking to the that called an investigation. Cheryl had been to the nail salon and she said, well, there's a recession coming because the nail salon, every all the customers there are coming in to have their expensive nails removed. And the nail salon people say every time there's a recession that their business goes up, but not for a client nails, but maybe the lawn. People can't afford to keep up with the nail maintenance. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, interesting. We'll see what happens. Dave, retail seems to be okay, and Steve's not seeing a lot of his claims increase, so who knows what the future brings, but the trust fund's in good shape.
Hey, I will say retail is doing well, and I'll take this opportunity to encourage you all to go out and buy lots of stuff for Christmas.
I left it there. I was going to give that Mike was trying to say, the bridge needs to go get a manicure. Help support your local mail out. All right. Thanks, Mike. I should have actually taken that because you were talking about a tax decrease or at least the rate break. When they go up, I'll let you. I'll just take those points. So let's talk real quick. Let's jump back up to the trust fund. I wanted to let Mike talk a little bit about the rates, and then let's just jump real fast and the trust fund can be quick because we only need to talk about the healthiness of it. Mike said it's healthy. Let me talk to you about health. Let me get out of the way on the screen. Right now we're talking about this. You guys see this every time we meet. It's our normal graph that we have. I think pokes your eye down to the bottom. This second or last line is actually what we're looking at as of this year. So what you're looking at right now, you're looking at the trust fund values or the modernization funds spend some money, basically focus on this amount, that's the total balance. We paid attention to this as of June of this year, we touched that a little bit in August. As of right now, that value is now a little $1 billion. We've actually jumped back over $1 billion mark, which is good. Now, a few years back when we hit $1 billion, that was almost unheard of. Now it's going to be kind of a problem. As you look, the minimum adequate and maximum adequate on the trust fund is $1.2 billion to actually insure the wages in the state of Utah, and $1.6 on the maximum, of course, now this is a statute formula, or statutorily set formula for covering our average high costs, basically. The DOL says that we need to have at least a year of ours for Utah. We go a little above and beyond in everything we want to do. Ours generally says, not really that 12 to 18 months, but it is roughly 12 to 18 months. So our statute mandates, so that's all we need, minimum maximum value. Of course, the rates for next year, 1.03, like Michael said, $100 million that we put in from the ARPA funds last year, that really helped and actually the self cost. That actually kept it static, and that was really good. I'm glad that they were able to put that out there. A lot of the encouragement from you guys and also from the legislature and very supportive of it. But that was actually pretty helpful. One thing that Mike did mention I want to highlight as well, the capping of that, when they put it down for this year's cap is 1.15, we were actually at 1.1. They put it down at 0.04, we were actually at 0.03. And the next year's 1.2, we're going to actually drop all the way back down to the we're actually in a good state right now, and the Apollo 3 is actually going to be, and that process is going to be a little bit slower in reacting. That's why we brought by that 119 or something rather than trying to move across the board. We knew this was going to be a little bit more sick, if you will, going forward. So right now, we're collecting quite a bit of money. Let me go to the next one real quick. I think what this graph, this is going to be a DNA graph. Patrick was happy, and Brad Patrick was a little happy because we started to represent the double helix like we used to, right? See how the double helix is the DNA of the city economy, right? And so, and then all of a sudden we got another weird, freaky economy where we just looked like we just kind of melted as a person. And then we're back to normal. So the dotted line, of course, is our debt and taxes collected. That's primarily Mike's shop. And the blue line is benefits paid. That's primarily what Leanne is handling. Leanne's been very stingy with the money. That's a good thing. He's actually not being exclusive with stingy. So for my public representative, no, we're not doing anything unsafely. But it comes out, that's just the natural. And I think it's more we can develop the low unemployment rate, which you saw on the agenda, and then we'll point fast. Was actually lower this year than it was last year. So we're seeing a really good economy in Utah. Patrick, look to the next one. And so what I wanted to highlight real quick is just, and you can go with this, you get to celebrate and rinse, and you want to drive down for Christmas, something like that. But I think what I want to highlight is what you're noticing here is this narrowing of the minimum and maximum adequateness getting bigger. In the recent 7 years, the economy is growing. And it actually started to take off kind of a steroid type of an approach to growth in the last 2 years. That's actually because you talk about welcoming states for business, and you might have seen what they call economic immigration states, right? So we're not talking about the political immigration, which people are moving in. No, it's a housing part, right? They've noticed people still buying stuff. And when we had Mark, our chief economist, last night, he was talking about the economy flows when we have people to sell things for, to provide services for. Utah is one of those examples, really highlighting. But it's growing. It's almost like we're catching up to folks. And we're trying to keep up pace with like a dog chasing a car down the street. Last year we were closer to where we were supposed to be. This year we're a little bit further away. That's because the minimum and maximum is actually growing. So that's having a harder time to catch up to. But good news is we are catching up, and it's not actually as fast as we thought we did. So we're still a billion. But you can't really complain with having a growing tax base. I mean, it's helpful. We're actually looking very, very, working solid into next year. Now, what does next year hold? I'm not going to go out and say anything related to the economy. I'm not an economist, and I might even try to do that. But I will say that if something does happen, we are positioned pretty strong. So we're not at our minimum level, but we are about $100 million more than now in a year. So that's actually what we're doing to think about doing for that reason. So I think. And also, just put it in more concerned about who's actually getting a new work expectation. It doesn't have to go to the or a double of the network. So he's talking about the standard. Redouble, that's my wife always makes fun of me when I hear redouble. Okay, so I think that was all I had to really share with Trust Fund. Bottom line, we're in good shape. Do we want to be where we're at? No, but we're getting there, right? So I would like to ask any questions. Any questions from the public? As a manager, we need to make sure the public has a chance. I don't think we have any public members other than the council members. Eileen? You asked me a hard question, Eileen. It should be noted. Let me clear something. I'm a benefits guy, so I can talk to you about benefits all day. You asked me a tax, and Eileen's going to try to trip me up. She's going to make me look like the new buyer.
No, it wasn't that, but during the pandemic, when there's all that PPE money that's going out, how does Utah compare with some of these other states? Did we find a billion? Some? I know there's fraud always in a country, but these guys are so gone. They don't know how to make money to eat people. And they'll always be
yes.
Right. So was it more than we anticipated? Was it less than we anticipated? Are we looking at that?
Yeah, let me clarify that. So with PPE, we didn't have anything to do with PPE.
Okay.
So, was overhandled by Department of Commerce for the we met with them. Chamber of Commerce, Utah Chamber of Commerce.
No.
They handled all the PPP loans, so they would handle that. That's what I do. Okay. But I think what the question you're asking is, so CARES Act funds, right? So as you know, during the pandemic, the legislature, the federal legislature, just threw our money to the street in every state, and Utah was no exception. Paid out $2 billion in benefits. I think Utah was actually struck. Utah just ran the work. I'm going to flex real hard on this one right now because Utah did really good. He had less than 1% of the money that went out was less than 1% of the money that went out was actually brought in. Now, $2 billion is quite a bit of money. Tens of millions of dollars paid up. Now, if you want to compare that to some states like California, for example, then California is a popular whipping boy when it comes to comparing states. They just handle things differently. But they actually went to a very pay first, ask questions later kind of model initially because they were so overwhelmed. Now, this is, they're not intuitive with their dad. They didn't have a choice. They had such a public demand that needed. They have, right now, at least I am understanding, about $50 billion in potential fraud that they are responsible for, which is above the 1%. So, compared to the other states, we're doing really, really well. We have largely wrapped up all of our investigations with potential fraudulent role and potential receivable offense. We're largely done with that. In fact, Utah, I just got done with our national conference, our national committee meeting last week. And Utah was one of the only states, if not the only state, that was able to say, we're done with all of our pandemic debt. We were able to get all caught up with all of our backlog. We were able to wrangle through all of our open payments. We weird feeling for the whole room to look at us like we thought best. We are the best. Try not to get the best of flex, some flex, because we are the best. And so, yeah, we did. We made a point to make sure we went fast, but also we went very careful. We made sure people were filing on people. We didn't actually disable a lot, we didn't disable any of our security phone calls as a result of the CARES Act.
And another question. The independent workers that were sole proprietors, that they were able to receive some unemployment benefits, right?
Correct, yeah.
Are they clamoring now to become part of the system so that they can collect?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't know if I want to venture a guess on that one. The PUA program, pandemic unemployment assistance, designed for people who they call it promote the gig economy, and that was individuals who work in the system. It's an ongoing debate nationally right now that they're talking about, and I think it's being driven by what do you do with these people? I know there's debate out in the States as far as do you make an Uber driver, do you consider an Uber driver an actual employer or not? So that's like we've been watching this fascination. The other states. Are there a clamoring for it? I mean, I imagine there would always be a clamoring for any kind of assistance program. I mean, when times are tough, if you have something to fall back on. I think the problem that a lot of people are going to have to pose against is going to say, how do you pay for it? How do you get a long-standing assistance program? I think pandemic assistance was basically what kind of federal funding program was supposed to work with. So it's not a long-standing program. It's not set up for permanency. Let's have to see what the future holds. I do know that when we talked about employer counts, we did see a sharp increase in employer counts over that course of time. I think we've gone from 93,000. Don't quote me on the numbers exactly, but roughly a little over 90,000. We're sitting around 105,000, you know, just in over about a year and a half of 2010 hold. And so we're seeing a big renewed increase in that, and that could be part of the people's actually getting this, you know, but we haven't done an analysis of it. In that regard, like are you to say are you a gig worker or you self-employed in the system? We're seeing a lot of interest. But it's also we're growing. Utah's a growing state. We're one of the only states in the region that actually is out that we are really strong. We're set up pretty good for any kind of thing. So Rich can retire easy, Rich. Go get fat and you'll be fine. And Tom's gonna be taken. Yeah, so it's
Any other questions from the from our hybrid electronics folks? Okay. Well, I think the only thing we need to talk about is next year's schedule. Free meetings, of course, is what we normally go with. We have a May 11th talk at 10th December. I'm not asking for anyone to say, hey, that's great or not, because I know that all time out. Just kind of give you a heads up. We may need to push up. Like, this meeting did get pushed. I was out of town last week traveling to that national committee meeting, and so we wanted to push back to make sure we had good in-person stuff. So just keep that on your calendar, and that's the hot ticket in the city. Please be declared by you. And so after that, let me just go around the room, or open up the room to anyone who has anything you'd like to say or question or for the public at this time.
Hey, Justin. So I will take the opportunity to roast Rich. I mean, I got to tell you, I could, because I've known him for so many years, but just wanted to say thanks to him. He had been doing this for quite a little while before I came on the scene, and he was one of the people that really put his arm around me. So, Rich, you will be sorely missed, and good luck to you. I know that we'll still see you around.
Thank you, Dave. Don, why don't you my friendship, Bill Payne, and you walk?
Well, I think Rich is like the Statue of Liberty up there. He's been here as long as I've been here, so it's going to be good. And now, Rick, are you more than welcome to join us
for that public hearing?
Hey! I tell you what, it's time for you to come back, say hi, and you can go to the stage now. That's going to go to the public. Rich, I think what we wanted to do is, wanted to get a card, and we kind of got it around, so everyone can have a chance to read. And I was going to do this with the book. So Casey messed up my whole vibe on this one. That's good stuff. Or if you wanted to actually put the book forward, you wanted to say thank you. And then this is the right thing. Comments? Can I get someone to make a motion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Let's have it. We are closed. Look at the cookie, everyone.
We'll see you later. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Dave, come on down for a cookie.
Yeah, I'll be there.
A little bit further off.